I've made the music for literally 100 brands now, officially. That's an exclusive for you, by the way. Mainly, I voice the Dubai government, as some people know, including Dubai Opera, Aquarium, Dubai Expo, Airport, and beyond. The reason why there's so many great artists in Lebanon is because there's a lot of pain in Lebanon. And pain creates artists. I mean, my pain made me the number one sonic branding composer in the entire Middle East. And a multi-entrepreneurial business owner. They're missing out. Because Dubai welcomes everybody. And Dubai especially welcomes new ideas, including creative ideas.
One part of your success is not only that you had a creative mind, but also that you're a hustler and you're willing to go out there and find the right people. Tell me how this environment, Dubai, changed you.
Well, I have...
All right, we're here with another round of a podcast with Dubai Catch. It's a pleasure to have my friend here. I've known you for approximately more than 1.5 years. I want you to introduce yourself to the audience here.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you for having me on the show. To be with a friend is always an honor, and to see you create incredible content that's helping a lot of people get to know a lot of other people in Dubai and beyond is amazing. So first of all, and first and foremost, congratulations to you, sir. And ladies and gentlemen, I haven't seen him in a while, and may I, like, allow me to say, he looks amazing. The guy is shining like a bright star, which he is. Dubai Catch, catching the right people right here. I'm Ahmed. Obviously, you know me. Voice of Dubai. I make music for brands. I am a co-owner of Mindloop Studios. I am the founder of the first voiceover school on a one-on-one scale in the UAE, titled On the Field Creative Academy. I am a comedian with my own stand-up show on Stars Play and another one in development, thank God, finally. And other than that, I am a host of certain events in which I like to make people happy and smile and remember the event itself as much as I can. And people hear my voice everywhere and my music across the entire Middle East. I've made the music for literally 100 brands now, officially. That's an exclusive for you, by the way. And what else? I am self-taught in music. I am self-taught in the English language. I am a school dropout. And I absolutely love Dubai, literally from the bottom of my soul. I mean, again, holding this kind of title is sort of gotta. So, yeah.
Well, it seems that most people don't know that your voice is everywhere around Dubai. So even the people that might hate you, they still have to listen to your voice throughout the whole time.
Pretty much. And especially the girls I date. I don't think they're as soon as we're talking, there he is again. There he is again.
So I'm sure, like, you can name some of the most famous places that they can hear your voice.
There's a lot. Mainly, I voice the Dubai government, as some people know, including Dubai Opera, Aquarium, Dubai Expo, Airport, and beyond. But it's mainly the tone that I crafted that is now the most known tone around Dubai. And it's extremely designed with Dubai in mind. The futuristic, forward-thinking, forward-creating city that has so much to offer and it's still growing, and something that has to do with actual announcements that millions of people hear to guide them, to help them, to make sure that they're very well taken care of. It's designed specifically for the city. And it goes a little bit like this. It's a tone that's designed for Dubai and it's just crafted in a certain way. It has a certain place. And a lot of people get shocked when I do it because they have, they're like, where did the voice come from? And I always enjoy that. But the actual answer, Mr. Dubai Catch, is that it comes from here, not from here, from here, from here, or from here.
The gut.
Yeah, deeper than the gut, actually, because it's, you're talking, you're going down, all the way down, and then you take it in a way where you space it out and you put it in. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Dubai Opera, Dubai Aquarium and Underwater Zoo. Dear Centerpoint customers, the way that you craft it and for each and every one is extremely specific. And it has a recall value, meaning it's designed in a way for people to remember it and to experience it. And the reason why I know how to do this and I opened the whole school is because I do music for brands, which is equally bespoke and custom made.
Out of curiosity, remember you told me that you also did for insurance market in a way. So everyone that I hear is like, they have this voice right in their head every time when they listen to the radio.
So I have crafted the music for insurance market approximately 2 years ago, and I didn't know it was going to be this big. I'll tell you the story behind it. First of all, massive thank you to Avinash, the owner, and Hitesh, the head of marketing, who are my very good friends, who believed in the idea and the concept of music for brands, also known as sonic branding. what truly happened is that I was driving on Umskim with a friend of mine, and he's a very, very close friend of mine, and he knows me from a very long time. And there was a billboard for insurance market, a very big one. Before all of the billboards we see around Dubai now, there wasn't that many. And as we're driving, my friend looks at me and he's like, oh man, these guys, insurance market, they're like really putting up a lot of stuff. Maybe you should do something for them. And I'm like, yeah, but there's this character, this guy, Alfred, right? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, he looks a little bit annoying. You know what I mean? But he's cute at the same time. Like, I like him, but I don't like him, sort of thing. And then I caught some of their radio ads, right? And the tone of insurance market that goes in a certain manner, right? So I started to think about the concept and I reached out to them and they were very, very welcoming to the idea. And then I crafted the melody by complete mistake. Actually, the truth is I was genuinely in the shower and I was trying to imagine what kind of melody it would fit. Because a lot of the music I've done for brands does not contain a voice or does not contain the name of the brand. For example, Festival City is ta-na-na. Doesn't say Festival City anywhere. And that's one out of many, many. Rixos is ta-da-da-da-da. And that's applied for all of Rixos. But insurance market, I really wanted to get something to stick in people's heads to be a little bit annoying. And that's where I came up with the concept and the melody, ta-da-da-da-da-tikich, which is insurance market. And there you go.
But for most people don't know what it means when it comes to sonic branding. What is the definition of sonic branding exactly?
So people confuse sonic branding with a jingle. They assume it's a jingle that, you know, is played on the radio or on YouTube or whatever. That's not what it is. A sonic branding is a 360, fully holistic branding exercise utilizing the power of sound and the power of psychology by enhancing the recall of the brand, ensuring that the brand values are understood by people all within 4 seconds. So this 4 second signature is the main brand essential recall tool that is then, you know, utilized on the radio, online, everywhere. And it's of course animated to the logo, whatever you want. But from this 4 seconds, I create a song for the radio, a song for when you're waiting on hold, a song for social media, and so much more. On average, every sonic branding project starts with a 4 second melody and ends with approximately 8 songs overall. And each is being adapted in different ways. I'll give you one example, Festival City. Festival City, I'm talking about it because I'm very proud of it. It's a brand new project. Got released just a few months ago. So the 4 seconds is on their social media and on their online and their radio. But then the background music is in the mall as you're walking in the mall. Not just Dubai Festival City Mall. No, Hamid. It's all over the Middle East. So every Festival City Mall shares the same music and the background music in the mall. And then you've got the one on the phone, which is also shared across the entire region. But then it also gets adapted. Let's say a company is in China, but also in UAE. So the music in China and the music in UAE sound the same, but completely different.
So you can always associate the branding of that song with a specific brand.
That's it. And a specific melody. It's just, you'll never forget it.
Like Emirates Airline. You hear that all the time. And I remember, it's always like, there's this specific sound.
Exactly.
I know it's Emirates.
Exactly. But you know what's so ironic about Emirates? Emirates doesn't have necessarily a modernized sonic branding. They have a legacy piece. A legacy piece is from the boarding piece. The ta-na-na-na-na-na-na, which was composed by an American composer. I forgot his name. He's phenomenal. He's a Emmy award-winning composer. Great guy. He did it a long time ago, and it's become a main asset of Emirates Airlines that everybody associates with. To an extent, that can be considered a sonic branding, but not really, because that's a boarding piece. So for example, me and my partners have worked on many, many brands. And if you look at Etihad, for example, Etihad does it in a very similar way, but also in a more modernized way. So if anything, it would be an honor to be the guy who does the next one for Emirates Airlines. And I think I should, because I know the brand very, very well, as you are aware, as everybody's aware. But sonic branding really is all about making sure that a brand actually follows up with the times. And it matters a lot. It matters so much. And it's not just about, oh, the company is or the brand is from this part of the world, so let's make the instrument sound like this. And that's not necessarily required. One of my favorite examples would be, for example, Barakat Juice. I got a very good friend of mine, Noor, who is the voice of the sonic for Barakat. And the ba-ba-barakat, it sounds like fresh juice. It just sounds like fresh juice. Yes, I used the name in
I
that
I already
one,
smell the fruit and the...
Exactly. From her voice to the melody to the concept. And every time it pops up on anyone's social media or digital or YouTube, it puts a smile on your face. But then you can't compare that to the music I did for Dubai Police, which is when you know, on the sonic and the signature of the... That's very, very serious. It's very governmental. So, you know, I did Barakat and I did Dubai Police, but they have nothing to do with each other. So each brand is treated very, very, very differently. And as of today, I've officially completed 100 brands, making me, I guess, the single biggest portfolio in the entire Middle East for sonic branding. It's insane.
That's amazing.
It's insane. 11 years, man. 11 years of literally nonstop.
So coming with that 11 years of experience, what got you into this creative field?
I think it was a calling more than anything. Yani, you know more than anyone, and you're my friend, so you know everything. Having to borderline be kicked out of school because I was just failing year after year and having no genuine compass beyond just holding instruments and playing. And of course, getting chosen by Milham Zain and Viviana Mrad to create, to play the guitar and piano part on the song Yalla. That was my game changer. Just having to tell someone, oh, I made the guitar and I played the piano on this song by Milham Zain. Massive name. So that's what got me the exposure. And then Jean-Marie Riesche, the composer, he's the one who got me on Nancy, Elise Saifa, Viviana Mrad, and all of these massive names. So obviously you're aware when my car accident happened, that put a pause to everything before. So all of the Viviana Mrad, Milham Zain, Elisa, you know, that was beyond insane to begin with. But then the car accident sort of stopped it because my hand broke, my leg broke, my back broke, my entire body broke. So I had to find a new purpose. And that new purpose had to be outside of Lebanon. And Dubai sort of adopted me in a way because I would say sonic branding was my savior, genuinely, because I needed a purpose. I needed a purpose to do something. And to create music was all I cared about. But I also had to sustain myself. I had to make money. And that's where I found out that, you know, sonic branding is not very known in the Middle East entirely, not just Dubai, just the whole Middle East. And having placed myself in that little niche and continuously evolved and continuously delivered and over-delivered by utilizing the main elements of innovation and then later on discovering my voice and continuing on all the way to the Dubai government, it was a hell of a journey. So in reality, I would say it's fate. It wasn't a choice. It was fate. It was driven by the fear of failure. It was driven by what am I going to do with my life? And it was driven by me liking challenges. I like when there's a challenge. You know, with Festival City, there's a one of their deliverables is for the Fountain, the Imagine show, the Welcome to Festival Bay, where my voice also plays. This song is for the Fountain. It's not out yet, but it will be soon. And this is genuinely one of the best, if not the best piece of music I've ever written in my life professionally. Like, it's a Hollywood piece. Like genuinely, I'm going to show it to Hans Zimmer. Like, that, it's that good. And I think when that comes out, it's going to be a game changer because there isn't a single Fountain show in the Middle East that has its own theme song from a brand DNA. It's literally the first one. And unless someone can correct me, please correct me. Show me the proof and I'm happy to be wrong. But at this moment and with my research, there's nothing like it. So I guess crafting memorable melodies that stick in people's heads and enter their heart is a big deal for me. And Insurance Market was a very big example because of the amount of kids, ironically, the amount of kids that went to me. It's like, oh my God, I love it. My friends' kids, my clients' kids, everybody. I have like 25 videos on my WhatsApp of kids singing Insurance Market and others. And I had one example where there was a kid singing Barakat in a supermarket. I wasn't there. A colleague of mine who works with me told me, she's like, I thought it was in my own head. He's 11 years old. He's from the UK. He has, blonde hair. And he started singing Barakat while picking up a Barakat. And I'm like, that's insane. Because that's no longer about a brand making sales and conversions. That's about legacy. That's about actually becoming a proper brand in people's hearts. And visually, you can't do that. So my journey was to mix the ability of marketing a brand while really putting love in it. And I guess I have a lot of love in me. And that's why my journey has been fate because my intentions have been nothing but clean.
Let's talk about your life in Dubai.
Ah, love that part.
What has been one of the most inspected part of your journey since you come all the way from Lebanon, you came to Dubai? What was that unexpected part about living here?
I mean, everybody says the security, right? Everybody says the quality of life. I agree with every single last one of those. But I'll tell you what's actually special. The views. Being able to go from Dubai to Ras Al Khaimah to Abu Dhabi to wherever in literally little to no time. Being able to experience different cultures and see different things immediately. And existing in a hub that is so well connected to the rest of the world it's incredible. That's definitely one.
You know, I myself never visited Lebanon so far yet.
You should.
But I was always...
Let things calm down now, but you should.
I always wonder, like, how is life there compared to here? Because there's a lot of Lebanese artists, amazing creative minds that live there, but they don't have maybe the opportunity to come to Dubai just yet.
I'm not
sure. But what is the main difference that you find between living in Lebanon and living in Dubai when it comes to your
creative field,
creative side? Yes.
Lebanon is absolutely filled with creative people up to the very top, some of them with real potential too. But I'll tell you what, obviously opportunities, you know, you go out for opportunity. You go out of your way to create an opportunity. You don't wait for one. Unfortunately, some people don't know that. They don't know the value of that as well. But what's really happening in Lebanon is that people forget that the country is not giving them the chance to have an opportunity or a chance to even continue to discover themselves. The reason why there's so many great artists in Lebanon is because there's a lot of pain in Lebanon. There's a lot of pain in Lebanon, and pain creates artists. I mean, my pain made me the number one sonic brand and composer in the entire Middle East and a multi entrepreneurial business owner. I mean, come on, without a high school degree, that's pain. That's pain.
The pain build that passion and fire.
Yeah, absolutely. And if people in Lebanon cannot get themselves to get on a plane or try their best to get on a plane to Dubai, specifically to Dubai, and craft their own journey in anything creative, they're missing out. Because Dubai welcomes everybody. Dubai welcomes everyone, and Dubai especially welcomes new ideas, including creative ideas. So for me, when I come and say I've done 100 sonic brandings, that wasn't easy work. That was literally a lifetime, precisely 10 years and a half of my life without a single vacation. I've never traveled. I've worked nonstop, and every single person in my life, you included, know I'm a workaholic. But I'm making music. it's a job, but it's not really, I mean, it is a job because the science that I put in to create these little and big melodies, it's not easy. But the people in Lebanon, no matter what creative field they choose, or anyone who's Arab for that matter, within the Middle East or the Levantine or whatever, get on a plane, man, find a way. Find a way. Like, if you don't have that fire, if you're not hurt, if you're not angry, you're not going to get anything done. And when you do get here, when you land, keep that fire, throw away that anger.
Wonderful, wonderful advice. Let's go back to the topic where you mentioned that you're a workaholic.
I am.
So in a place like the city of Dubai, it's fast-paced.
Yeah.
How do you find time to relax, just enjoy? What do you do?
Are you ready for this? It's a little bit cringy, but it's the truth. I go to places where my music plays, like in the lobby okay, I'll give you one, Rixos. I go to a Rixos hotel and I stay there and I physically just sit there listening to my own music in the lobby in the room where it plays.
What's the reason for that?
I guess I always wanted to appreciate art that I've created that has impacted the masses. And now that I've finally done that and sort of overdone that, for example, Insurance Market and Salam in Saudi and many others that have really hit, there's a special place in my heart where the kid inside of me, who's still alive and well, who's still very alive and well, is just so proud of the older version. Like, I'm proud of the little bro for believing in him when no one did. And he's proud of the 30-year-old who just turned 30 who didn't stop. So it's a combination of that. And it brings me a lot of peace because I get to also hear my own work and think, okay, how can I make the next brand better? How can I make it more intrusive or more inspiring or more memorable or whatever it is? And because the brands are unique, but the hospitality brands are my favorite. Like, for example, when I went to Saudi German Hospital and I was sick, you know, everybody's been getting sick recently, yeah? The weather changes and the flood and all of that. Alhamdulillah, that passed, you know, borderline without any major issues. Yeah? We're very lucky compared
very
to other countries.
Very
fast indeed. Yeah. Way better than other countries. But basically, I went to Saudi German because I wasn't doing well. And for those that don't know, I've done the music for Saudi German. I voice Saudi German Hospital, caring like family. So there's that. It's the music. And I went there and there's the lobby music and I just sat there literally waiting for my turn to go and see the doctor and I noticed the music. I'm like, oh, wait, that's me. But I'm sick. And I'm like, oh, that's me. And even though I had a 39.5 fever, I just told a random family next to me, lovely people, I believe from India, very nice people. And I'm like, oh, hi, guys. And the kids were there and I'm like, do you like the music in the background? And they're like, yeah, it's relaxing. I'm like, yeah, I did that. And they're like, really? I'm like, yeah, I'm not just randomly making this up while I have a fever. Yes, I'm the guy, you know? And they're like, oh, that's pretty cool. So I guess also the reaction of people who consider things I do as impossible, you know, I like to change that perception, which is why I opened On The Field Academy, which is why I opened the school. And I didn't make it into a classroom trying to make as much money as I can. No, it's bespoke one-on-one, like me and you are sitting. Teacher, student, custom-made program, and a literal therapist to study your personality and character while we create your program. It's not a joke. It's a very, very serious program. And it's literally tailor-made for you. So that's why I opened the school. It's because I want to change people's perception on that. And I relax by inspiring. I mean it. If you leave me in a hotel like Rixos, you'll see me talking to 25, 30 people in, 2 hours.
I think one part of your success is not only that you had a creative mind, but also that you're a hustler and you're willing to go out there and find the right people, target them with your creative mindset, showcase, sell it, and be able to produce it for them.
It's literally that simple.
You have that confidence that you know your work is better than majority of things that are out there available. And you know that you can sell it.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a rare talent that you have.
How many voiceovers are in this country or in the Middle East? Can we even count them? 20,000, 30,000 people doing all different types of languages?
There are many. There are many. Yeah. But how many are known?
And how many hold a very specific title in one of the biggest cities on the planet? One of the biggest cities on the planet?
For sure.
That alone started in me. It all started in me. It didn't start externally. It started internally. That's what people forget is that, yeah, musically, specifically sonic branding, I don't do jingles or TV commercial music or any of that. I would love to if it was the right brief, the right project that fits my character, but sonic branding is where my game is at. I'm gonna very soon, within the next, inshallah, 1 to 2 years, start expanding from sonic branding to Hollywood scoring or any kind of high-end scoring, from TV shows to movies. The reason why is because I'm built for it. I'm meant for it. And what reinforced that idea is the music for the Fountain Show for Festival City. When you hear it, because I haven't sent it to you yet. My bad, by the way. I sent it to a few close friends. I'm going to send it to you. Hopefully the client isn't watching this. Listen, it's going to get released, client. It's fine. It's just a very close friend. I'm going to send that to you, and you're going to hear it on a pair of headphones. And you're going to remember that's your friend Ahmed who did that. And then you tell me if you can find anyone or anything better in the entire majority of the Middle East. I genuinely dare you. And you are an artist.
I'll look forward to it.
You're going to love it, man. It's genuinely a game changer. So yeah.
Let's go into talking about maybe a lot of people that come here.
Mm.
They usually have their own culture, tradition influencing them. But
of course.
The moment they come to Dubai, everything changes.
Yes.
Tell me how this environment, Dubai, changed you.
Well, I have had Emirati and Saudi friends growing up in Lebanon, but I've never experienced the culture of the Emiratis in Lebanon in itself. Because first of all, I wouldn't see them in a kandura. I wouldn't see them in any of this. So they'd be, you know, normal clothes and all of that in Lebanon itself because they're immersed in our culture there. But when I came to Dubai, I remember going to JBR within the first week I was here, because I was living there with my brother when I first got here. And I remember seeing, you know, a large amount of Emiratis walking and playing a certain type of tabla. Well, now I know what it is, but back then I had no idea what it was. And I was really, really immersed in the, let's say, rhythm. So a lot of the music I make now, actually, for the Dubai government, for the Abu Dhabi government, for the government itself, is all Khaliji driven. So I now know precisely how to create Khaliji music, like proper Khaliji music. But my point is, it blew my mind at the time. It's the rhythm of the people. See, the rhythm of the Emiratis is beautiful and it really has life in it. So when you really get to understand the just the resilience of the people, which reminds me of the resilience of the Lebanese people. Now, obviously, every nation has the good, the bad, the whatever. And there's a lot of good here. And there's some good in Lebanon. Believe me, there's still some good. There's some good people, smart people, talented people. They're there. Sure, they don't have a good opportunity because of what's happening. But that's not their fault at all. Regardless, I understand. But in the UAE, it's expanding. What I got to learn here, the culture of the UAE, is that it's ever expanding. And that's what makes the people of the UAE beautiful, and why I consider myself one as well, as of now. So yeah.
People here, usually when they first come to Dubai, they kind of feel lost.
They do.
Or they feel lonely.
They do.
How would someone who comes from your experience to this city and be able to connect with people and be able to adapt to the certain lifestyle that they have to adapt here in Dubai? Because it's much more different than any other countries.
Of course, yeah.
So what type of advice you would give to this person?
I would say discover your hobbies more. People don't make enough time. I just happen to have jobs that coincide with my hobbies. The jobs I do and my hobbies are literally one and the same. Like, I don't swim for a living. That's a hobby. But I do, you know, my hobby is to make music and my job is to make music, whatever. So discover hobbies that are relevant to you and love yourself enough to not feel lonely all the time. You will feel lonely. You will feel sad. These are natural emotions, especially being away from your friends, family, all of that. I understand. It's completely natural. But in order for you to immerse yourself in the city of Dubai, not the glamour of Dubai, but in the city of Dubai. And if you come here with the mindset that everything is fake and everything is all about money and all of that, you're failing big time. Because that's not what this is. That's not what this represents. You've been to imagine you have a friend who has a nice house, right? Or a friend who has a nice car, not me included. And you look at that. Does that represent who they are? No, it's a part of them. It's a part of them that, like, for me, I drive what I drive. I live where I live because I appreciate what I have. I appreciate what I have for the story that it tells and for what it stands for. The people that come here and sort of like try to follow other people's footsteps instead of discovering their own is sort of wrong. And listening to these rumors of, oh, it's a fake place, blah, blah. No, it's not. It's got its shallow bits and it's got its deeper bits. But overall, it's way deeper than most places. And the cultural diversity is what makes it. You know what I mean? So if you see any shallow part of the city, that has nothing to do with Dubai. That's certain people in Dubai that have nothing to do with Dubai. So when they're, oh, Dubai is shallow. No. Dubai is fake. No, it's some of the people in Dubai that are shallow and fake. And they are. And some people just stood out from others because they scream the loudest. And there's a lot of those. There's those who are influencers with millions of followers because they lived life in a certain way or promoted life in a certain way. I don't have millions of followers, but I am known 100 times more than they are for something that actually impacted people in a good way, in an innovative way, rather than look at this money or look at this or look at that. People need to understand that Dubai is a place of love and they have to come and invest in that. Invest in the love that the city is offering them to help them grow within the city itself. And more importantly, they have to remember to love themselves more than anything in order for them to survive within these elements of loneliness and feeling lost and feeling all of that. Discover hobbies that you actually want to do. And trust me when I tell you, it's in Dubai.
What best advice you've sought that you feel like it truly made you successful here in Dubai?
Discipline.
Discipline.
Absolutely. Dubai is filled with too many things.
Too many distractions.
Way too many distractions. And if you don't have a certain level of discipline between you and you, it'll eat you up. And if you make, whatever, 100,000 dirhams and you're like, okay, I want to have a bit of fun, they're gone in 5 minutes. 5 minutes is actually a lot. Or you can use them to turn them into 1 million dirhams in 5 years. It's really just discipline. You look at anyone who wakes up at 5, 6 in the morning, walks their dog or whatever, goes on a run. Whatever. I respect people like that. Now, listen, I'm not one of those. Not yet, anyway. Because I make music till 3 in the morning almost every night. But my discipline is that I always deliver. And I've always delivered. And I am the opposite of selfish for my job. Or all of my jobs and all of my companies and all my clients. Without my clients, I'd be nobody today, obviously. So people need to understand that that discipline will take them very far as it took me. And yeah.
I can see discipline being a huge part of making someone successful. But you as an employer, how would you differentiate this type of discipline where you're just the sole person who is running the business compared to an employee working for an organization here?
When you are an employee working for any kind of organization, you are part of an organization that's either evolving, growing, or becoming worse, or whatever it is. Tough times, good times, anywhere in between. You have to discover the things that you want in your life that's going to make you disciplined to reach a certain goal that you're dreaming about. When you catch yourself before going to sleep, think about the last few minutes as you know you're about to fall asleep. What do you really want in those few minutes? As you're about to literally just go into sleepy mode and just completely fall asleep, what do you want? Ask yourself, what do you want? When you first wake up in the middle, ugh, I can't do this. I gotta brush my teeth. I gotta go. Traffic, blah, 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 blah. Ask yourself in the middle, what do you want? What do you actually want in life?
I think most people don't know what they want.
No, they don't. You know, I had a, you will love this story. I had someone, I can't say his name, but someone influential, powerful, very, very well off, who was buying land for around 40 million, okay? And he is on the phone with someone telling them, okay, we need to do a better price and blah, blah, blah. Now, I'm not very close to this person, but I know him and he knows me. And, you know, he closes the line. So I look at him like, were you just talking about buying a property for 40 million? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, seriously? And he's like, yeah, what's the problem? And I'm like, 40 million? That's a lot. You know, like, I don't know, like maybe 5. I mean, I can get that, but 40, that's a lot. And he's like, yeah. And he's like, you know, Ahmad, I've been here for over 20 years, blah, blah, blah. This is my city now, yada, yada, yada. And I've done this and this and that. Great guy. And I'm like, you know, like that's absolutely phenomenal. But like, you know, I wanted some advice from him. And I'm like, but how did you remain so disciplined in investments? Because he buys and sells and buys and sells real estate. You know how it is. And blah, 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 to become such a, you know, big name in the region. And he looked at me, he's like, I'll tell you one thing. I might have all the money in the world, but I don't have one thing that you have that I envy you in. You are 22 years younger than me and already left a legacy. I can't buy one. And you know, that touched me. That genuinely did. That touched me in a good way. And I laughed and I'm like, oh, come on. He's like, no, but seriously, because he knows a lot about my life. He's like, if people knew the level of what you've contributed in the Middle East and in Dubai, like genuinely, and this guy doesn't know me very well, but he knows of me. He follows my socials, read some articles about blah, blah, blah. And I had a business meeting with him, obviously. So I got the business from him and he looked at me and he's like, I don't think you know your value yet, but it's fine. You're just 30. Keep doing your thing. One day you'll know your real value. And I'm just like, and funny enough, Hamid, this happened, wallahi, I think a week ago or less than a week ago. So it's super fresh. But again, someone like that told me these words that affected me in a certain way, the same way I might tell someone certain words, but they need to be open to hearing. They need to be open to other good people's opinion or feedback. They have to be open. If everyone's right about what they are, of course they don't know what they want. I mean, this guy fell into what he did for his entire life, from real estate to, I don't want to say too much, but he does other things and he's in the medical field as well. And he fell into those. He never wanted precisely to do any of those. I knew I wanted to make music since I was 9. So I've heard during my career, during my life, that the luckiest thing you've ever had, Ahmad, is that you always knew what you wanted to do. And I agree with him completely. And surviving what I survived, from the car accident to this, to that. I mean, it makes you think, why did God take my two best friends, you know, the driver in the past, and left me? I must have a purpose. My mom told me you have a purpose, blah, blah, blah. And that's what it is. People need to have purpose. They need to believe they have purpose. And listen, anyone who wants to be successful or an entrepreneur or wants to, you know, exceed in their employment or to grow in their corporate ladder or whatever it is, they have to a certain extent be delusional. Not for real, but to a certain extent, they have to believe they're already there. They must. They must. His Highness Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum envisioned Dubai as Dubai was being built. And now it's built and continuously being built. Phenomenal.
Less than 50 years.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Meant in 11 years, I've given 10 and a half years precisely. I've given the birth to 100 music for 100 brands across the Middle East as an artist, not as a businessman, not as a startup expert, none of that. But as an artist, I over exceeded any and all expectations in the region. You have to keep in mind that I'm a singular composer doing all of this from A to Z. I'm not a company with composers on my team, blah, 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 blah. Now I am, of course. But throughout my career, and specifically Sonic branding, ain't nobody touched that. That's Ahmed Haffar from A to Z. That's my signature. You hear anything around the Middle East that you know that's stuck in your head, from the insurance market to the Barakat to Dubai Police to Festival City to so much. There's too much out there. All of these are Ahmed Haffar deep inside. So no matter what you do in your life, especially if you have a job that you want to exceed in, find the purpose within you to grow yourself to become a better version of you. Because even like since the last time I saw you, Hamid, which has been a bit of a while, I worked on myself, on my emotions, on my personality, on my character for you, for my friend. I worked on me for you. I want to give you a better friend. I want to give you better stories. That growth, the best thing I can ever do for a real friend is personal development. So the best thing anyone can do for themselves before it goes to other people is personal development.
I always say when it comes to money, you can either invest in your business or invest in yourself, because those two will give you the biggest growth.
And you doing a lot of money-oriented pages on social media, you know very, very well how the cookie crumbles, how it goes up and down, everywhere in between. But that's the thing. That's where even someone like you, with your acumen and how you interview people and how you ask certain questions a certain way, I was telling him that before the show, you develop that and you're getting better. I mean, I know you and you're actually getting better. And sometimes I'm just, you know, on my Instagram and one of your videos come up and I smiled. You have one of those energies that makes people smile and you inform the right. I literally get my news from you, man. I'm like, what's happening? Oh my God, what's happening? It's great. And you built that. So I guess with anything in life, any kind of investment with money, with time, with effort, whatever it is, the more you do of it, you are bound to get better. Now, whether or not you'll be special, genuinely special, that is up to how you are. Because for me, last example, sorry, guys, I'm talking a lot, but I'm excited to talk because my friend, I got to impress the guy. So with the music, I am genuinely overachieving what I did before every single time. Every time I write a new piece for a brand that will live in the brand for the next 5 to 10 years, even longer, I feel in my soul, this part is special. This melody is special, blah, 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 blah. And again, they end up being special. At the end of the day, no matter what you put out there and how you put it out there, you have to go back to the self-esteem of you. From the work I did with Majid Al-Futaim, for example, massive. Everybody knows them. Literally. There isn't a single person like, oh, have you heard this? Yes, I have. Do you know that I made it? No, I didn't. Okay, well, there you go. As an artist, my work speaks for me. And that portfolio helps you keep going as well. The same way your portfolio is ever growing, Hamid. But people continuously redefine their vision and redefine their purpose as long as they keep going. If you stop, you would have stopped wherever you are, like a video game. You press pause. Or you're literally repeating the same mission 1,000 times. Tab yahi, khalas, you finish that mission, move on to something else. That's it.
Now, coming to the conclusion of this podcast.
Yes, sir.
What would be the 3 tips that you would give to any creative person?
Creative, okay, done.
So, because you're in the creative field, this is what you are doing here in Dubai. What would be the 3 tips, if you give it to them, you leave that as a legacy, they can use it for lifetime?
If you have real talent, you don't need to study it. We're speaking about the creatives here. I'm not talking about people who are doctors like, oh, I don't need to study. Yeah, you need to study it if you're doing surgery, all right? Talking creatively. If you have the talent, you don't need to actually study it. 99% of people will never know your real value, and you have to be okay with that. You have to accept that. This is going to you as an artist as well. Self-value needs to go for yourself. You need to love yourself and love your own work before you expect anyone else to care about it. Last but not least, you don't matter as a human as much as your art matters for the people.
What do you mean?
I mean that you, as a person, need to detach yourself from your art that you've been blessed to be able to give. When I say, oh, I've done the music for Insurance Market, Barakat, Brands for Less, Car Switch, Shoba Realty, Range Properties, I can keep going on till tomorrow. But it's not me who did that. It's the artist inside of me, who's a borderline genius, by the way. Unbelievable what this guy has achieved. Unbelievable. Truly. But that has nothing to do with me when I'm out eating in, in Bella, in the Italian restaurant I like so much. That has nothing to do with that guy. And even when I get approached physically on a table, say, hey, are you the guy? I think, yeah, I am. But I'm also just here eating. But my art is what's in your heart, in your soul. The same way when you meet Hans Zimmer, for example, one of the humblest people on the planet, who's touched the hearts of, 500, 600 million people on the planet? His ta-na, 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 that alone.
I think it touched more than even that.
Probably.
If you think about all the movies that he has done or composed music for, most people don't even know it was him, but it is. The music
precisely.
That
even video games.
Yeah.
Yeah, Call of Duty, but I saw him. But you know what's really ironic? He started his career properly, if you check his Wikipedia, or if you were as lucky as me to have a conversation with him, around 37, 38.
He started his
properly.
Career?
Yeah.
37
check
years
his Wikipedia.
Old. How old is he now?
He's old.
Because he doesn't look that old. Like.
Because he is happy and full of life and full of love. So even for me at 30, sometimes like, I haven't done enough, boy. I'm like, wait. Nah, I'm good. I'm all right. Actually, I'm pretty okay.
I actually feel that the 30-year-old of these days, this generation, is much more different than 30-year-old.
I agree.
30 years back.
I agree completely.
I see my father, for example, when he was 23 years old or 22, I looked much more different than he looked. He looked like already mature, built up, huge. And I look like still like a little boy at that time.
Exactly.
It's very strange seeing that.
30s are the new 20s. Everybody knows that. Now that I've entered my 30s, I am unbelievably excited for what's to come. To get to know people, to keep spreading love. People may not know this, but I call this guy randomly sometimes to tell him I love him. That's how good of a person he is. So please continue following him, continue supporting him. And I mean that. He's my friend. So but you must do it, and you must do it now, or I will follow you all over Dubai and annoy you personally. Yes, Catherine. I saw you unfollow him. Follow him back now.
I'll never forget that call. You called me that specific moment one day where I wasn't really feeling that good. I had something happening there. But you just gave a call and you told me, hey, Hamid, I just want to say I'm really happy to have you as a friend. I love you so much. And I was hearing a lot of compliments and good words. I'm like, is Hamid okay? Is there something going to happen or what? I don't know. Usually people say their goodbyes or they're going to do something bad. But no, you just had that pure heart. You just wanted to give a good message, good vibes, send your beautiful energy to those people and not even expecting anything back.
Of course not. Why would I? I mean every word that I tell you, that I told you that day and to my other very, very close friends of mine. I have a friend who, this is a really nice story to end up with. I have a client, okay? I went to a meeting where I was treated very, 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 very nicely and professionally. And as if, I don't know, man, Will Smith walked in. It was crazy. I've never experienced energy like that. It was the respect for my art that really got to me. The whole team knew everything about me from A to Z and my work and blah, blah. And it wasn't even a question of, okay, we want to hear your pitch and we'll let you know. It was like, no, the job is yours and literally made for you. Like we have created the need of our brand to have, you know, a music sonic because of you. And I'm like, oh my God, that's overwhelming. You know, it was overwhelmingly good. So I'm like, what is happening? you want a coffee? You want a... And I'm like, okay, I'm good, chill. Towards the end of it, the person who insinuated all this, who's one of the heads, she sat next to me and she's like, I've been in this country for 15 years. I raised my kids here, blah, 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 blah. Never once did Matthew, her son, come up to me and tell me, I love him. And I'm like, I've only met the kid like 4 or 5 times. And she's like, I know. But you live in his innocent little soul because you have an innocent soul. And this is where the music comes from. And this is why we need you. I almost cried. And yeah, I don't want to say the name of the brand, but trust me,
you've heard the music, so I can't say more.
It's always amazing when people or when businesses come to you rather than you go to pitch to them.
It doesn't happen often enough, unfortunately, but when it does, I'm grateful to it, man. Like when I just get an email, a client saying, literally just you, I don't want anyone else, you know, to even touch this. I know what you're going to do. Here's an open checkbook. What do you want to charge? 7 figures? Go ahead. I don't care.
Really? No. That point.
Not yet.
7 figures, that would be an amazing...
But 6.
Yeah.
That's cool. I mean, look, again, you can't put a price on music. Like, for me, you know, it's not about the money, but as an artist, it's pretty good to understand that you're valued. I mean, if you look at people like Johnny Depp, who makes $30 million a movie or $25 million a movie, not every movie, but certain movies, and I'm not talking immediately before he shoots, I'm talking after... 2-3 years of the movie success, you know what I mean? Because they get all of the rebutuals and they got all of the royalties. It's a great feeling to understand that when you have real talent and it's being appreciated, it's fate and it's meant to happen, and that's the bare minimum. Some people have an imposter syndrome when they make money from something they love doing, which I've seen is one of the biggest problems that people have. Please stop it. You deserve this. Whether it's a dirham or a million, you deserve it. Say thank God. Just keep doing your job and stay humble. Seriously. And I can imagine a good chunk of my friends saying, Ahmed said be humble. Ha ha ha. No. Be humble. I may not be humble as an artist that much, but I am. And if you get to re-listen to my music, you'll understand that I do it for you, the people. So you don't have to. You can just enjoy it and listen to it. And pa 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 da pa pa da. Right? So yeah.
How can listeners connect with you?
Well, they're connecting with me every day, hearing my music and my voice, I guess.
Like, do you have some way of contact, whether it's Instagram?
They can send me a message on Instagram. I mean, I fully admit I have people who also, you know, deal with that. So I'm not the only person reading it. But please reach out. If you want to reach out, please reach out.
Can you spell it out?
Ahmed Haffar Official, AhmadHaffar Official. It's Instagram and TikTok. Much more active on Instagram. I barely touch TikTok. I'd like you to also follow Dubai Catch in case you haven't, because I'm going to repost all of this. Ladies and gentlemen, please follow Dubai Catch. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And that is
Sonic Branding. You can definitely go to him. Just DM him. DM him right now and just look at all the achievements he had.
Honestly, if you guys have a brand, please get in touch, because a lot of brands are not succeeding in that field of making themselves look and feel cool for the younger generations. I got you. I mean, I've got kids singing my insurance market music. What do you want more? All right.
What projects you might want to announce, or you have anything in specific coming on in the future? Maybe not even about your career. Maybe you want to start a family. I don't know.
I don't think I'm there yet. Let's see. I am getting a new car.
All right. Yeah. No, you had a Ferrari last time.
I have two. So one of them is, you know, it's gone now. I sold it. And there's another car coming. I'm not going to say what it is.
Okay. Interesting.
It's. I'm excited. I still have my 458. That's my baby. But anyway, that I'm excited about. And in the music sector, I am currently working on 9 Sonics. Which I can tell you some of them. It's the Abu Dhabi government is one of them, officially. Yes, the official Abu Dhabi government Sonic branding for the statistics. And then you have apparel group, which I'm very excited about. So all of the BBZ, 638, blah, 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 the whole thing. 2,250 stores will have my music. It's a massive one. And one of the biggest hotel chains on the planet, which I cannot announce the name yet because we're going to do a lot of PR, but they have 100 properties. And they're literally one of the biggest hotels on the planet. And they will all have my music. So approximately 500 to 600 million people will hear my music because of that hotel.
There you go. So I promise, pretty much everywhere that I go in Dubai, I'll be hearing your Sonic branding, basically.
all over the Middle East and literally the world.
Inshallah.
Inshallah.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here.
It's a pleasure to be here, ya Habibi.
Really enjoyed talking with you.
Alayhi.
Really good.
Habibi, enta. Keep that beautiful smile going, and we keep going, man. There's no other way.
Absolutely.
There's absolutely no other way, man. We got to keep going. Habibi, thank you. Bye.